threatens.
Is the singularity near?
The military-industrial complex.
The truth is out there.
The seven mountains of the influencers of culture.
To be as gods, you know, catapults to propaganda.
From a mostly secure, undisclosed, split-level location on a cul-de-sac somewhere in the heartland of America, this is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
The Earth is looking at a period that promises to be one of the most catastrophic in all of history. Welcome to A View from the Bunker. I'm Derek Gilbert. Our guest is a gentleman who's been putting a lot of study and making a lot of information available about this future event, available for free online. And we'll tell you where to find that during the course of the program. We're talking about something that he calls Planet 7X. Others call it Planet Nibiru, Planet X. And now there's new research indicating there may be a mysterious Planet 9 out there in the Kuiper Belt somewhere. But today, Planet 7X is the topic, and our guest is Gil Broussard. Gil, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Derek. It's a pleasure.
Website is planet7x.net. This is something that I've been hearing about for quite some time. And to be honest, I tend to be a little reluctant to jump into topics that are as sensational as the Nibiru Planet X discussion, because some of the information that's out there is not, well, frankly, it's just not very good. It's not well researched. There's really not much there. People are claiming to see a lens flare on and calling that, you know, evidence of the coming apocalypse or coming destruction. But your work deals with some more, evidence-based conclusions.
Also hard, what I call hard evidence. We have scientific papers, white paper reports under peer review that I've taken, and I've plotted the object that they stated as seen in year 1054. Which was mislabeled as a supernova. I think that's one of the main reasons why we still have that mystery report available to us today. And whenever we do the plotting of this object, it's a sizable object that they saw for 26 months. It's a comet-like object, but it's large. It's as large as a planet.
Now, in 1054, you're talking about the Chinese astronomers?
Yes, the Asian astronomers. They were Chinese, Korean, and Japanese.
Okay.
And that's all in, it's well documented. And the supernova was seen maybe 2 or 3 months earlier. This object that's been noted, when they went back and checked the records on what it actually said, this object that they spotted for 26 months actually moved to multiple constellations. Supernova is stationary.
Right.
It doesn't move. So, and then no one bothered to plot the orbit of it. And when I was reading the article, I noticed how accurately they were giving measurements and elevations and positions. I did a few hand calculations because I was looking for something that would be either crossing Earth's planetary plane for it to cause a meteor shower, and it seemed to be very close.
Hmm.
So then I had started taking that data, and I started putting it in astronomy software and plotting all of the points, and what turned out shocked me, that it matches somewhat of a biblical model. In fact, it matches exactly like a biblical model, because it gave us a 150 to 152 day separation between entry and exit, and it crosses Earth's planetary path twice, not just once, but twice.
On the way in and then on the way out?
Yes.
Okay.
And the way out, when it's on its way out, it's crossing in the month of Passover.
Hmm.
The most common one that Christians have never really took notice to is, remember, Yeshua's sacrifice.
Yes.
There was 3 hours of darkness.
Right. Which, of course, is Passover.
Correct. And that meant for the sun to be blotted out, it has to be the moon that's doing the, you know, darkening.
Right.
Well, that takes a new moon. Passover is on a full moon, opposite side of Earth.
Right, okay.
And the moon can only give you 7.3 minutes of darkness, and there's only a spot on Earth. Outside text, as well as the biblical text, says the entire Earth was darkened. And that, And the model shows us this a Chinese model, right here, or an Asian model. When we do the overlay on these biblical events, there's 14 of them. It explains exactly, scientifically, in the correct order of sequence of events. And it gives us for Yeshua's sacrifice, a 3-hour eclipse of the entire earth being darkened for that period of time.
Yeah,
and that would explain the earth earthquakes, but it doesn't explain the timing of the earthquake, keep in mind.
Right.
And when the Almighty is using this for his timing and his effects that he wishes to have done. And
you mentioned that the darkness at the time of Christ's crucifixion. I remember that there was a evidence quoted by Origen that, and I'm trying to find this really quickly as I'm thinking here. The fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, which was supposed to be in the year that our Lord was crucified. This is Origen writing that there was a recorded the greatest eclipse of the sun ever known to have happened then, for the day was turned into night, the stars and the heavens were seen. So this was, that was a pagan author cited by Origen in one of his writings who recorded that it was a total eclipse that was far darker than had ever been seen previously.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
When it's totally blotted out, you would have no light. Because the moon is darkened as well.
Right.
So you probably couldn't even see your hand in front of you. That's how dark it was.
Yeah, and if you can see the stars in the sky, that's awfully dark. That's a lot darker than you'd expect from a total eclipse of the sun, with the moon moving in front of the sun. So would this be then the planet 7X moving between the Earth and the sun?
Right. The reason why I call it planet 7X is because I'm trying to separate data from fictional story-like data that many people have put on the internet,
right?
Like saying it's many solar systems, you name it. It's way out there, like from brown dwarf stars and such. Mm-hmm. This is basically a planet that has an orbit similar to a comet. It has a tail similar to a comet whenever it gets close, and its size could be anywhere from 6 to 7.5 times the diameter of Earth, according to some of the, when we back calculate some of the science, we're getting something within that range as far as the debris field. Maybe the object may be slightly smaller than this, but the debris field cannot be over 7 diameters of the Earth. And this lines up with what Revelation is talking about. It even says in other parts, I think maybe Isaiah 1 or the 2, it says how when Yeshua comes back, that the day will be turned into night and the night into day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a 12-hour delay in the Earth's rotation. Okay, to have night into day means you're off by 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing that happened during Joshua's long day. The
right.
opposite side of Earth was they had extended night by 12 hours, which was Asia, you know, mm-hmm. mostly. And it's mentioned as well in Revelation. Remember when it says he sends 4 angels to stop the winds? Well, that's referring to the winds to stop, the rotation of the earth to stop. You see, when earth is entering the tail of this comet, because the tail points opposite of the sun, and that's plasma now.
Mm-hmm.
When that plasma, let me see, envelops the earth, it stops the energy coming from the sun into the north and south pole, but it shuts it off at a rate of 4.5 to 5.5% compounded hourly. So it's just like a dimmer switch. You'd slowly, within 24 to 28 hours, Earth comes to a complete stop.
Hmm.
We can prove that Joshua's long day literally happened. We have a model that works. And this explains the meteor shower that took out his enemy.
Hmm. And this, I'm trying to remember which of the battles this was. This was not, obviously, this was after Jericho.
Right.
It was.
That's when he was, after he settled into the land. Remember, he had made an ally in the north.
Yeah.
And the ally called for him. They had a king, 5 kings that gathered their army. There were 300,000 troops against his 30,000 troops.
Right, right.
And he marched throughout the night. Now, that night was extended for him to get there. By the time he got there, the enemy, the sun should have got risen maybe 2 or 3 hours earlier, and the camp was in panic. They took that as a bad omen. The sun didn't rise yet. And Joshua went in there charging while they were scared, and he caused them to start running. And then at one point, he asked the Almighty to extend the day for him so he could finish off his enemy. And this is where the moon comes in and blocks the meteor shower from him being hit, but only the enemy is being annihilated. And remember, this is hand-to-hand combat.
Right.
With a sword. You're not that far away. And only the enemy is hit. None of Joshua's 30,000 men are hit. So
we're clearly talking about something that's got a supernatural component to it.
Well, if you even think about this, that a rock can be into space thousands, if not millions of years in advance, it basically has the name of that soldier that is hit because if it's coming down and hit him for that specific time. In other words, that Asherah was put into space with knowing that it was going to hit him many, many thousands of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the God who knows the end from the beginning could certainly set up something like that, but...
Correct.
Well, this is similar in that respect to Doug Elwell, who has written the book Planet X, The Sign of the Son of Man and the End of the Age. His conclusions are not exactly the same as yours, but at least in this regard, that this is the work of God. And as such, we Christians shouldn't necessarily be fearful because, God has set this in motion to carry out his plans. But it certainly helps alleviate some of the anxiety, I suppose, if we try to understand this a little bit better. So you mentioned Joshua. You mentioned the year 1054. What kind of a cycle of return? I mean, if this is orbiting, obviously it's got to have a regular cycle. Some of the planet Nibiru, Planet X theories talk about a 3,600 year orbit. How in your calculations? How often does this planet 7X come back around?
Correct. Well, there's no hard evidence. That's what I was looking for throughout when I was searching. There's no hard evidence for a 3,600-year event. None. None whatsoever. It's claims and such, just like they say, a mini solar system. There's no hard data to back up any of these claims. Now, according... if we were to put a number to this, because it does have a erratic orbit, because it depends on what it runs into and the magnetic fields or the gravitational fields of the planet, whichever way you wish to state it, affects its orbit some. But if we were to put a number, it'd be close to 360-year orbit. We've had some as short as 52 years. Remember the 3 days of Exodus, the 3 days of darkness in Exodus?
Yes, yes.
Well, just prior to that is where it had a head-on collision with Ceres, which is now called our asteroid belt.
Right.
Planet there. Well, that slowed the forward speed of this planet by 1/20th. And when it round the sun and came by Earth, it caused 3 days of darkness.
Okay.
And so it didn't have the speed to go out 300 and some years. It took 4 more trips around the sun before it gained its normal orbit. So the first orbit around the sun was only 52 years. The next one was 131 years. Then the next one was 336 years. And finally, it reached the time of Hezekiah, 358 years roughly, where the shadow went backwards for Hezekiah on steps. Not a sundial in the Hebrew. It literally says steps. And if the steps were facing south, that meant the Earth tilted 26 to 28 degrees, which we can prove in history multiple times and archaeological artifacts that when we went back and used the patterns of the stars and what they showed from that latitude, it proves out that Earth had tilted 26 to 28 degrees. And we can document about 4 times, 4 in the biblical records and 1 in the archaeological records, which proves out the time of Joseph. Remember when he had that dream where the sun, moon, and stars bowed to him at age 17?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't until he was 40 that the mid of the seven-year drought is when this planet passed, and it caused it may have caused some darkness there. We don't know exactly. But when it passed close to Earth, it also caused a 26 to 28 degree tilt, literally causing, when you looked at the sky, at the nighttime, that is, you would have seen the stars bow to him. You see, and that was at age 40. So he had the dream at 17, but God fulfilled it when he was around 40. And so we can go back and prove out these things. They literally happened. And for Joshua, Joseph, I may have said the wrong name. I meant Joseph of Egypt. That's where this Niebuhr disc, the artifact in Germany, comes into it. And it, when we take the star pattern and the events stated on that disc, it proves that Earth went through a three-hour eclipse and that the moon was not involved with, because on the disc, the moon is in the crescent shape. It takes a new moon, a full circle, to darken the sun. They show the star pattern that gives us the month and the day even. And when we calculate the date back, it gives us the exact date and month that this event happened in Egypt. After we subtract 16 years from Hezekiah, when the calendar changed from 360 to 365 and a quarter, to go back in time to Joseph, you have to subtract 16 years from the software, because the software does not compensate that the year changed. And it did. We have calendars globally that move from 360 to 365 and a quarter during Hezekiah's time, around 700 BC. And this is the item that did it. It drug us in a, think of it as a magnetic trough that Earth is in. After the destruction of Ceres, they had a little bit more wiggle room in that trough, and it just moved us to the outer edge of that trough, and that gave us the extra five and a quarter days we have now.
Okay.
Because our orbit around the sun is slightly larger.
Now, what was the axial tilt, the change in the axial tilt when the stars bowed to Joseph was, 28 degrees, you say?
26 to 28 degrees, yes.
Okay. And normally the Earth is what, between 22 and 24 degrees?
Around 23, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. But that's 26 to 28 additional degrees.
Additional degrees. Okay. That's what I wanted to get at.
Now, because it's like two bar magnets, when they're passing to each other, they tilt toward each other because there's a magnetic attraction.
Okay.
The ruling force of the universe is not gravity. The physicists have proven that. It's electromagnetic. Gravity is a short distance. It's called the Roche limit, 1.5 times the diameter of Earth. That's where you get geocentric orbits of satellites. If gravity was greater, it would have sucked them back into Earth. So it's electromagnetic. So these two, because planets have a north and south pole, just like magnets, they tilt towards each other whenever they're passing close enough. Then whenever they get further apart, they go back, they go back to straighten out. And Earth will come back within 3 to 4, the most I saw was 7 degrees off from where its original place was. But you can see the many, some of the many ice ages, some of the things that they've, the extreme changes in seasonal that happen. And it changes things. It changes the, we've had some very catastrophic events in the past. This doesn't cause this time every time. Sometimes it's quite far away from Earth whenever it's coming around. You still have the earthquakes, the fish kills, the bird kills, the weather pattern changes, the droughts, just like we're seeing now. But when it does come close, 4 times it's come close. The last time it ever came close to Earth was during Hezekiah's time.
Okay, so let's identify those then. The other three close passes of Planet 7X, would Noah's Flood have been one of those?
Yes, Noah's Flood, then Joseph of Egypt, and Joshua's long day, and then Hezekiah. Okay. And the future event of a close approach would be Revelation.
Okay. Now, based on your calculations, do you have an estimated time frame for that?
Just that it will happen near the time of probably after between three and a half to four days after the Feast of Passover, on whatever year that is going to be approaching.
Okay.
I have a date, I have a window on scientific window of 2013 to 2030 as a window of its approach, because unless we cite it, then I can give you an actual year, month, and then later a week and even a day whenever we arrive.
Mm-hmm.
But we strongly believe, and I've had confirmation from retired people that our government has the ability to cloak an object using lasers, and they put space-based lasers during Reagan time up there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how Reagan gave an international speech to the UN saying, if we had an outside threat from Earth, how we would see?
Right, right.
Unite.
We'd all come together, yeah.
Exactly. Well, he wasn't speaking really about aliens. He was talking about this outside threat was this planet. And they had confirmation of this with the Pioneer and Voyager probes in 1992 in December.
Hmm.
If you look back at what they stated, if you remember, at first they thought this planet was going to go at a circular orbit around the sun. But when Pioneer and Voyager probe confirmed that it was more like a asteroid with a steep elliptical orbit, and that was spotted around, I would roughly say, 8 to 10 years outside the universe, outside of Neptune's orbit.
Hmm.
Well, that's roughly, if it was reached, let's say it reached Neptune, it would be 16 years before it reached the sun, according to Kepler's laws of planetary motion.
Hmm.
And it was spotted between somewhere around 24 years out of our solar system. So that's about the time we're looking at right now. 2016, 2017 is because NASA went silent after 1992. Hmm. There was no more talk about it.
So they were actually talking about Planet X or something out there in the Kuiper Belt prior to.
They literally said they were looking for it. And multiple astronomy encyclopedias, you name it, it's out there. They were literally looking for it. Mm. They stated it. But 1992, they went completely silent because now they found out it was heading towards the sun and they needed to know, was it a threat to Earth or not? And yeah. See, a lot of people don't even... I'm going to give you two main reasons to debunk a lot of information on the internet. One is where they point you, south of the universe is. South of the universe is not polar south. Polar south is considered Nadir in the technical papers. South of the universe is Sagittarius.
Okay.
You know, where you have the zodiac, there's a line that goes across all that called the ecliptic. That's a planetary plane of Earth.
Right.
For us to have two meteor showers and for it to have a center point where the sun, you got three fixed points. So it has to be on the ecliptic for it to cause two meteor showers. And that is South Union. So there's many people out there pointing you at the South Pole.
Confusing polar south with galactic south.
Correct. Because because the way the Earth is tilted, it's ideal to put a telescope in that region because you need cold temperatures to have a ultraviolet and it gives you more daylight period to scan south of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not polar south. Okay?
Right.
So, and then, let me see, there would be another common thing would be, now it's
Sagittarius, that was also the location of am I thinking right? I'm on December 21st, 2012, isn't that where the Ouroboros suddenly, the sun rose out of the mouth of the Ouroboros in Sagittarius on December 21st, 2012? That was the whole Mayan thing? Or am I confusing that with something else?
I don't know. I didn't follow the Mayan thing very, very well. So
well, I only
I'm not too familiar with it.
Well, I only followed it enough to know that it was not a threat to life or limb. It was not going to be the end of the universe. So I was not concerned with it. And I think that was it. I think that was the Great Galactic Alignment that they were prophesying. But anyway, just one of those random bits of data that floats around inside my head. Sometimes it gets a little cluttered up there. Some of the other catastrophic events that have accompanied Planet 7X. You've got a wonderful timeline of the Bible and Planet 7X events that are available at your website. You make available for download through Google Drive and Dropbox, which is really good because this took a lot of time to put together. And I'm just astonished at how many events are linked here. I mean, of course, the Battle of Joshua, the Great Flood, but there are a number of other things in here. So even when there is not a major event, a major catastrophe, like a global flood, for example, or the Earth changing in its rotation to allow Joshua to smite his enemies, there are still other events that are linked to the passing of this this planet. What were some of that you found to be the most intriguing or maybe the most surprising?
One of the ones that is going to be probably relative to us is just like Jonah's warning to Nineveh. Okay, this was roughly 40 days before Hezekiah's shadow went backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was hesitant to go, and when he finally went, well, he gave him a warning. It's 40 days, your Mr. Destruction comes. And then everybody went into a misrepentance mode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, try that today. Jonah didn't perform one miracle. How can you convince a town of, let's say, 20,000 or 15,000 to repent? Go tell any town today. Repent and see what you get.
Huh.
So what is it that made them pay attention and go to that, 180 degrees and changing anyway? Was it because it didn't have internet and they saw fish kills and bird kills and seasonal change and drought and severe weather and many other things, earthquakes, volcanoes possibly, whatever? And they knew something was wrong because they were in tune with nature, where we're not as in tune with nature today because of the internet, TV. We're not out there on a day-to-day basis
mm-hmm.
like these people were. The only thing Jonah had to do was point to the sky because guess what? The model shows us exactly at 40 days, it's rounded the sun and you can see it from Earth.
Hmm.
How did their guessing of 40 days line up with a model exactly here? And remember, this is the overlay of the Chinese overlay of the model. And so we're going to have, I kind of relate the story of Jonah to be the warning that's about the average warning the government's going to give the people would be 40 days.
What would the people of Nineveh have seen?
It wouldn't have been startling. It would have been just like you see Jupiter at night
mm-hmm.
in a night sky, but you're looking at Jupiter about as equal to the brightness of Venus, and it would be to the left of the sun. It's not going to be a sun dog. A sun dog is equal to the size of the sun. Remember, that's mm-hmm. what a lot of people are seeing. Sun dogs are mirages. You can't focus a telescope on that.
Right, right.
If it'd be real, you'd have close-up pictures of this showing you a different type of planetary body that you've never seen before. That's why these things are not real. That's that many people are proposing as being it. When this thing shows up, it won't look threatening at first. And remember, it doesn't grow in size until it cuts half the distance. Will it double in size? So once it goes halfway, it's doubled. Then it has to go another half before it. So So as it gets closer, it's exponential growth almost that's happening. So it's when it's about, I think, maybe 2 weeks out, it might be half the size of the moon. And then within that time period, when it crosses Earth's path, it may be as large as 7 times the diameter of Earth. If the stories of the Bible and what we put together is correct, it's stating possibly that it will pass between the moon and Earth like it did during Joshua's long day. And there's plenty of room between that time area. There's 30 Earth diameters between us and the moon. The moon is 250,000 miles away. And this is only 7 times the diameter of Earth, and it's not gravity that's going to mess us up. It's electromagnetic, and they only tilt towards each other. It causes a 26 to 28, the Earth is going to tilt again. After the wind stops, after rotation of Earth stops, then when it, with last 6 hours of approach, it starts tilting. And the Bible says this next event in Revelation is the worst event in all of Earth's history. Keeping Noah's flood actually happened, and that was not the worst. This event, which is the Great Tribulation of Seals 6 and 7, is the worst, it says, in all of Earth's history. That is a very bold statement that's coming out of the Bible.
Yeah.
And I happen to believe it.
Now, the calculations on the number of hours prior to the passing of the planet 7X and the Earth, tilting because of the electromagnetic pull. I mean, how do you model something like that?
Well, only in the last 15 years or so, there's two basic camps. There's a physics camp and there's an astronomer camp. Astronomers said that there's missing matter. 96% of all matter is missing.
Right.
And they created dark matter and dark energy.
Yeah.
Well, the physicist says, well, there's no missing matter. That the vacuum of space is not a true vacuum. That it's actually a lake of plasma. Plasma is clear most of the time. You don't usually see it. And that's where, remember, plasma is the fourth state of matter. So there's no missing matter. So there's no such thing as dark energy and a dark matter.
Mm-hmm.
And recently it was proven out when they said this comet Siding Springs came near Mars. The physicists predict that there'll be electrical discharge when the tail of the comet was going to cross over Mars. And the astronomer said no, because the tail is ice particles. Well, guess what? It was recorded, and I have a video on my YouTube channel, Planet 7X, the bonus feature. It shows a electrical discharge. Remember, this rock is a small rock. This comet was very small. But the entire planet of Mars lit up like a light bulb, like a flash of lightning hit it. And we can prove that Earth was hit similar with a plasma bolt. If you go to the Eye of the Sahara in Africa and look it up in Google Earth, you see a 30-mile-wide crater that is not an asteroid crater. It's proven that it's not. This is a flat crater with multiple rings. This is a plasma discharge crater. This is a lightning bolt that jumped from our planet to Earth and caused a 30-mile-wide crater.
Wow.
And this is just one. Remember I said Earth tilted 4 times?
Yeah.
Earth had to be hit at least 3 times. Maybe not in Noah's flood because we had a canopy of water.
Mm-hmm.
But the other 3 times, we should see at least 3 major areas of scars on Earth. And some people think that the Grand Canyon was first carved out by plasma before the water started rushing in. And so, but the Eye of Sahara in Africa, you can go to Google Earth, that is absolute proof here that was not by a comet. 30-mile strike, a lightning bolt, is not done by a small comet. That's a planetary size object.
I'm looking at that picture right now. I had never heard of this before.
No, because we're putting the pieces of the puzzle together right now.
The Eye of the Sahara. This is bizarre. This is like concentric rings in the middle of the desert. And
see, 15 years ago, if we would have challenged the Bible with a gravity universe,
yeah,
it would fail. Okay, we would say the Bible is not true. It fails the test. But with the physicist model of a plasma or electromagnetic universe, all these stories are working out. We have an actual working model that proves these events now.
Hmm.
And we don't have 50 years for the books to change before this event is sooner than that. So the public has to get a grip on the newer science and come to their own conclusion.
Yeah.
Because they're holding back this information.
Yeah,
this is why you see the changes on Earth at present.
And in terms of fish kills and mysterious bird, you know, birds just dropping out of the sky periodically.
It's exponential growth. You see, as it gets closer, you'll see this getting more severe.
Hmm. So, I recently talked to retired physicist Dr. Barry Setterfield about this, about the electric universe, and watched
I love his work.
Watched a DVD presentation that he put together, and I'm going to have to get that stuff back from Josh Peck. I loaned it to him and watch it through again to try to get my head around this. His health isn't great. I would love to get him on the program, but I don't want to impose on him because I know that he has good days and other days that are not so good. But Setterfield.org is his website, by the way. So this Eye of the Sahara is one of these sites. Somewhere on Earth, you suspect there might be three others. What about the supposed crater off the Yucatan Peninsula? I mean, I don't know, because it's underwater, I presume. I don't know whether they've actually dug down and found fragments of a meteorite that hit there, or if that might be another one of these locations.
I have a study from the Smithsonian Institute where this lady, I don't have her name in front of me at the moment, but she gathered an international team of scientists. There were about five or six of them, and they went and studied that site, including all around the Gulf of Mexico, Cuba, some of the islands and everything. They took soils and it took them a whole year of studying. And they concluded, an international team, Chicxulub did not kill the dinosaurs.
Hmm.
It was too early. That there's a much larger event that is to be given credit to that actually killed the dinosaurs. And according to my data that I've put together, the Gulf of Mexico itself is a crater.
Hmm.
When you bend the Yucatan Peninsula back down where it was previous and put Cuba and South America where it needed to be, Cuba was touching South America and the Yucatan.
Mm-hmm.
You can see where there's a lake cut in Florida in half. There's a lake that's cut in half. You follow that arc, it goes through half of my state. And the southern tip of that arc comes to the south of Toledo Bend Lake, where they have a natural dam there, because that's where the crater rim is. Then it goes about 100 miles inland of Texas, all the way down to Mexico. And you see a ridge of mountains in Mexico, which is the outer rim. A large crater has a double rim. Well, we have an offshore shelf. That's the second rim. And in the center, you have a high point called the Sigby Knolls. These are all characteristics of a large crater.
Hmm.
And this is what roughly according to, if you take, that's 1,100-mile crater. And you can roughly estimate that a meteor was one-tenth of that. That's 110 miles across. And scientists have a problem accepting this because there's two levels of heat. It's involved with the impact that large.
Mm-hmm.
One, from the blast. Two, it creates a frequency that goes out and violently vibrates carbon molecules. So violently, they spontaneous combust.
Hmm.
So plant life, animal life, insects, birds, fish, with spontaneous combustion, you have a ring of fire going all the way around the earth.
Yeah.
And you have a burnt out cinder.
Boom. Yeah.
And I was challenged. This was the first time I was challenged when I gave my first presentation. This gentleman came out of the audience, and I didn't find out till later, but his IQ couldn't be measured on paper. He had yet to take an oral exam.
Huh.
And he said that he had calculated that and that I had an error. So we went through, and he says, so I asked him what the error was. Well, he had a photographic memory. He read the paragraph that I just stated to you, that it had two levels of energy. So in short, I said, you're telling me there's too much heat. He said, yes. I said, water is a good absorber of heat. He said, yes. I said, would the volume of two oceans be enough to absorb this heat? And his eyes lit up, because this happened when the earth was flooded. It's the second event. 150 days later, the impact is what hit the earth. That knocked off 71% of our crust that formed the moon. That's the exact volume. Then the water could recede, making our oceans. Then the continents could separate. Remember Pangea?
Pangea
was landlocked.
Yeah.
That's the only way that you can have that massive amount of weight on one side of the earth if earth is spinning and it was molten. Otherwise, crust should be formed equally.
Right.
So that's when the continents started to separate, because they're no longer locked in place. And Earth is trying to balance itself. We still have a small wobble today because of that. And that's this exact same volume as our moon. The moon didn't exist until 200-300 years later, when it was mentioned in Nimrod, some of the outside notes of Nimrod, and then in our Bible, it's literally mentioned in the dream of Joseph. That's the first time it's literally mentioned. The lesser light does not, it doesn't state moon. Because the canopy of water, if, just like you have, you ever seen a fish tank at night in a person's home where you have the light on, but you can't see the light, but the light radiates in the water and it lights up the room in a lesser light? Well, if the sun was hitting a canopy of water, it would transmit light to the other side, giving you lesser light.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's a different, it's, we visualize Earth as it is today, but that's not the way it was during Noah, prior to the Noah's flood. We have to visualize it as it was then, and it had a canopy of water. And that gate, that created the lesser light, because literally the moon is not mentioned. The word they choose to, it's been mistranslated. Appointed times is the common word used, and they'll substitute that for moon.
Right. I'm looking at the ESV version now, Genesis 1:16. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And the God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And yeah, you're right. It doesn't actually say sun and moon.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I checked all of this against the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you go to Genesis 41:29-31, this is where Joseph has this dream, and he talks, and it uses a literal word for moon there. There is a Hebrew word that means moon, but it's not shown in the text until Genesis 41:29. And that was Joseph's dream, and earth tilted when he was in Egypt at age 40, where his dream comes literally true. And we can prove that using the Niebuhr disk, which is an artifact. It's the oldest artifact showing the star constellation in Europe.
The Niebuhr disk.
Yep. You can look at it. It's about 12 inches across. It's a bronze disk with gold inlaid, star patterns, moons, sun, and it's in a museum. It actually proves out the event of Joseph. They don't know that in a museum, but.
Well, yeah, they probably wouldn't want to admit it even if they did.
But I was the one that redefined it, because I was pointing out, I mean, some of the experts missed some key facts. One, the moon was facing the wrong direction. The illuminated side has to be facing the sun. Two, it can't have an eclipse if the moon is in the crescent shape. So these points were missed by the expert. They were documenting a uncommon event to them that drastically affected them, because this is an expensive disc for them to make at that time period.
Yeah.
So they were documenting something to tell us in the future. And it came out of Germany.
Well, let's come into present day, because I'm curious about some recent research that has been in the news lately. And this is from a couple of astronomers at Caltech who have done some calculations and said that there are some irregularities in the orbits of some trans-Neptunian objects, objects out in the Kuiper Belt, that suggest to them that there is a body that they've dubbed Planet Nine, that they estimate to be about 10 times the mass of the Earth. They're guesstimating about a 15,000-year orbit. Is there any relationship between their research and what you have calculated for Planet 7X?
Yes, I can even point to other research. I have five different studies. Some are modern studies done within the last 25 years. That the orbits of comets are warped in one region of space. And one study in the UK, one in the US. The US study was over 12 years they took. And these comets are in our solar system, not outside us, or inside us, and they're warped.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the mid-90s they started their study. Guess what? All these studies and all the biblical even and all the Chinese documents and all the NASA probes point to only one location, Sagittarius.
Hmm.
There's 88 constellations. How is it that all the data, scientific data, and biblical data point to only one constellation, and not just anywhere in that constellation, but on the ecliptic, which is one little line across that constellation.
Hmm.
Right now, there's a study that shows our moon, our orbital path of our moon, it has a elliptical path, okay? It's stretched, which they say is unknown gravity. Okay, but it's a magnetic field. That's what's causing our magnetic north to be tilting further north. It's moving 12 times its normal rate of speed.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I've talked about that. The North Magnetic Pole is actually moving towards, Denmark, I think.
Yeah. So ask yourself this question. What affects a magnetic field?
Another magnet.
Another magnetic field.
Yeah.
And if you understand the tilt of Earth, is constantly the north, that is, north of Earth, is pointing to the north of the universe.
Hmm.
And our tilt is increased more to the north because that's where our object is coming from. It's pulling it. It's tilting. It's causing our magnetic field to move towards the direction of this object that's getting nearer. So is the orbit of our moon. There's a study that comes out that they don't know why, but our elliptical path of our moon is stretched. Guess what? Towards the north.
Interesting.
Okay.
Toward
object is in our solar system. It's not outside our solar system. And it's nearer than what they... this is closer than 5 years, I would say. According to the effects I'm seeing on Earth and what's listed in the biblical records. Okay? If we can relate these two as a passing, then I would say it's... there's great reason to be concerned that it's near.
Hmm. Is there any way to use the because you know, scientists are very much aware of the change of the drift of magnetic north. Is there a way to use that as a almost like a divining rod? To you know, I hate to use the word divining because I know that's forbidden in the Bible, but that's the only image that comes to mind to help us you know point to you know where it is in the sky.
I've used that, and that's yes, it does. It does point at the position where I think it is at the moment.
Well, if there's something that's this close, Gil, this is a question that some people, some skeptics have raised. If it's this close, we should be able to see it. It should be reflecting enough light from the sun for it to be one of the brightest objects in the sky. So why can't or haven't we spotted it yet?
Because we have interference from our illustrious government. They have the ability to cloak items. They're 30 years more advanced than the public knowledge, 30 years at least. They had cloaking mechanisms. And you can see a video that I put up how they can, you can set these lasers and you can see right through your hand, like a hole in the center of your hand and anything moving behind it. Because they're able to bend light with it. Remember, Einstein says all matter is light just changed to a different frequency. Can we bend matter? Yes. The question was just how do we bend light?
Mm-hmm.
you use another light to do it, which is lasers.
Yeah, in fact, that's interesting because just last week there was a news item that popped out about a proposal to beam lasers out into space along the line between the Earth and the Sun, so that any alien civilization way out there in space that might be looking in our direction wouldn't notice the dimming of the sun as the Earth passed in front of it. Of course,
yeah, that's a great way to spend the taxpayers' dollars, really.
Well, somebody connected to government who's got a company that builds laser technology is going to do well on that.
But to give you a little bit more information, when this thing reached the edge of our solar system, which takes 16 years to reach our sun, if we wouldn't have interference, that meant it's twice as large as Neptune. That meant the average astronomer should see it.
Right.
It takes 16 years to reach us. Now, that would have been year 2000. But yet, that's only one of our senses. Sight is only one of our senses. We have hearing, feel, touch, and even common sense, if you would. But we have all the effects on Earth. If we use our visual perspective and see the fish kills, bird kills, droughts, seasonal changes, the volcanic activity and the earthquake with exponential growth, we see the warping of orbits of our moon, the magnetic field of our Earth warped. We see other planets that we see the moon of Saturn being warped. There's another study that's coming out. Something's tugging at the moon of, I would say so. Very, very close to that area. And I would say it's possible that it may be somewhere around the orbit of Jupiter at the moment. And from there, it would only take it about a year to reach us around this next March or April. If we take the literal text literally on what he's telling us in the Bible, he told us to prepare food on a Sabbath year and a Jubilee, 1 year food. Okay. And food and supplies. Seal 3 talks about economic collapse. Seal 4 talks about a famine. And his people will not be severely hurt by this because they've listened to his instructions. Now, is this the Jubilee and, you know, that we're in?
Well,
none of us living none of us lived 2,000 or 3,000 years to have an accurate record. We have to depend on this handed down. And there's certain other mathematical point and astronomy lineups of the past that leads me to believe strongly that this is the beginning of the Jubilee.
Well, interestingly, and this is, may just be a coincidence, but the Vatican, Pope Francis, has declared this a Jubilee year.
Yeah, well, what
now he's not—he's not following the Hebrew calendar or the Torah, but for his own purposes, he declared this a year of Jubilee.
I found it very interesting that the Pope and the Queen said this last Christmas was the last Christmas that we would be enjoying. That means this next Christmas may be under economic collapse, which would be Seal 3 and 4, possibly, you know, war and famine. So that would end up being around this next March or April, possible with the return of this planet. But I think we will see it very late, maybe 6 to 9 months. We shouldn't if it wouldn't have any interference. But I'm afraid we do have interference because the signs are there. We're talking about scientific articles. We're not talking about something written on a clay tablet 6,000 years ago that sometime is warped into something that's in a fairy tale. I'm talking about scientific studies. I have six, but I can add another 4 or 5 to that right now at present on what's coming out. We have a problem.
Well, Gil, I know we've only just scratched the surface here and that there's a lot more information because I'm looking at what you've made available through your website, planet7x.net. And there's a lot more information on my screen right now than we haven't even talked about. I do want to mention the DVD, Planet 7X, The Destroyer. What do people see in that film, and where could they get a copy of that?
Well, many people have asked me that they had trouble convincing their family members of about this being a real planet and how the Bible is real and connected. So I made this video to help people, to help convince their family members, their pastor, their Bible group, even a church, show it to a church setting. It awakens them that there is scientific data, that it's real pertaining to it. Yes, there's much false information out there, and I do not promote them. Mm-hmm. Promote false stuff. I'll show it, you know, the scientific data and such. Because I was a hardened skeptic. If this wouldn't be real, I'd still be there as a hardened skeptic and tell you this isn't real, and I'd blow it out of the water. I can point to the errors in many of these people's comments. It does not match orbital mechanics and mm-hmm. a few other things. This is a real object, and that's where the DVDs are. Now, they can get the biblical in on where it fits in the biblical and some of the math on the videos on YouTube. They're free.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go to my website, planet7x.net, and download the book. It's free. It shows each event in the Bible, where to turn to the Bible. I'm pointing you back to the Bible and mm-hmm. where to read these stories. Look at it from this point of view, because they didn't have modern terms. They didn't have the word planet. They didn't have the word comet. They didn't have meteor. That's
right.
Called fiery hail, the fiery dragon of old. These ancient terms. So remember, you're reading an ancient language, just trying to, and someone's trying to translate it into modern English. But they didn't have a clue to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know.
We'll put links to all of these sites and to the site for downloading the Planet 7X charts, which you very graciously made available at no charge. Planet7x.net is the website. There'll also be a link to Gil's YouTube channel. And again, to the reference material that he's made available through both Dropbox and Google Drive. So you can download these charts, print them out or have them printed, because some of these are much larger than you would want to have on an 8.5 by 11. We're talking the one I'm looking at on my screen here is what, 36 by 54, 36 by 53, something like that.
Yeah. Those are the wall charts. If people wanted to read the more detailed stuff, they can bring that to a printing place. Because there's no, I don't put any copyright on this to where they can print anything they want as many times as they want.
Yeah. So this is, this is phenomenally detailed. And again, Gil is graciously making available just a wealth of information at no charge for you to review and decide for yourself what needs to be done about it. But preparedness is always a good thing. That's something we talk about periodically here, but as with Skywatch TV, that is certainly something we emphasize there. But I think the bottom line here, and I'll leave you the final word here. The thing that I was encouraged by in reading Doug Elwell's book, to refer back to that, is that knowing that this was an instrument of God, and it was not intended as an instrument of punishment or destruction for those who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you see this affecting those of us who are faithful? Is there some good news in what you are studying and researching and the research you've done on Planet 7X?
Yes. I've went through 5 different Bibles, and I'm still looking for the perfect one, because I compare it against the Hebrew. I have to end up learning in some phases Paleo and ancient Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And get it back to the original meanings, and it brought a light that I was resistant to. I thought what the Bible that I was holding at the beginning of this study was absolutely correct, but if the science is not correct, yet it's written correct in the Hebrew, then we have a problem with the translations.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who wrote in Hebrew had no clue of this science. So they were just writing exactly what took place and these translations are not exactly, because they didn't understand the sign and they didn't know what the Hebrew was exactly right. So they put their own version of it. And so we do have some things, and this also runs into error on what we're to do at the end. There's two taking aways, and they're literally defined completely different. And it follows what's called a Hebrew wedding. The first taking away, it says a remnant, which is a subset of, that doesn't mean the entire body. And he says you have to meet him on Mount Zion. in Jerusalem, and he brings this. This is the bride and the bridesmaid. The bride is 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
The bridesmaid is, you see the parable of the wise and foolish virgins.
Yes.
Well, half of those virgins don't make it because they didn't pass. Remember?
That's right. They weren't ready. They weren't prepared.
That's right. Okay. Remember how the wise have two portions of oil?
Mm-hmm.
A portion of oil in the ancient time was 12 hours. It took you through one night. The wise have two portions of oil. That night's going to be extended by 12 hours. Remember, he comes mid of night, not midnight, mid of night. That night on the night, and guess what? In March, the nighttime side is the safe side to be on the globe. The daylight side is the one in March that gets hit by the meteor shower.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling you he's going to bring you to a place of safety in the wilderness. Wilderness never been referred to as heaven. Nowhere in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're twisting we're twisting words that don't say what they're meaning. What people say they mean. Wilderness means wilderness. Remnant means remnant. And bride and bridesmaid also means that too. Hmm. 3.5 years later is where you can be anywhere in the world. And the dead are first, and then the living, and then you're brought to heaven. They're defined completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So he says on a Mekra, which is a rehearsal point, he says Passover, you have to be in Jerusalem to practice this. Well, there's a Passover coming up in the future here. We don't know exactly what year. You have to be attentive. When you see this object show up in the sky, he says he'll give you a sign in the heaven. That's this object.
Mm-hmm.
Be in Jerusalem for Passover. Because he requires you as a rehearsal. That's one of the times he says you have to be in Jerusalem. It's for Passover.
Hmm.
To practice that.
Now, we're already hearing from people who are feeling led to head in that direction. So maybe there's something at work there in the spirit realm. That
yeah, he says people. To be obedient. If yeah. you're a couch potato, you're not going to make it.
Gil Broussard is the researcher, amateur astronomer behind the research into Planet 7X, the DVD Planet 7X, the Destroyer. His website is planet7x.net. Like I said, Gil, I know we've only scratched the surface, but in the interest of keeping this to a manageable time, we'll break here. But would you be available should we want to talk again?
Sure, Derek, anytime. It's vital for the people to have a grip and for them to do their final studies.
Links to Gil's website and his YouTube channel are posted with the show notes, which, as always, are at vftb.net. View from the bunker, vftb.net. Keeping an open mind about the concept of Planet 7X, and I have to admit that for a long time, in spite of repeated requests to do a program on Planet X, Nibiru, Nemesis, Planet 9, Planet 7X, and Gil was referred to me a number of times. I really resisted the idea because, frankly, well, as we mentioned during the discussion, a lot of the information that's out there about Nibiru, Planet X, is just really bad information. It's not scientific. It's not well-researched. It's sensationalist. It's creating fear, which is understandable because this is kind of a scary concept. But if Gil and Doug Elwell are correct that this is the an instrument of God, then we as Christians, first of all, can't do anything about it except prepare as best we can, store up water and dried foods and so forth. Secondly, it's going to be for God's purposes. So it may not be pleasant, but the end result is going to be good. So let's not get too upset about it. The one aspect of the discussion that I still have my reservations about is the idea that this is so close that we might see this within a year. Because if we're really that close to us, it should be the brightest object in the night sky. I've read some information by professional astronomers who've taken a look at this without just dismissing it and being snotty about it, which is the response many scientists take about this whole concept. And just said, look, unless it's comprised of some completely non-reflective material, then even if it is a relatively low albedo, which means reflective, degree of reflectivity, it would still be a really, really bright object in the night sky. And I just have difficulty believing that NASA has the technology to screen something like that from Earth. And I'm not defending NASA. I understand that there is a lot of stuff that goes on underneath the umbrella of NASA that we aren't supposed to know about, black budget things. But there are other space agencies on this planet who I suspect have an agenda that's different from NASA's. There are 18 different agencies, if I remember the number correctly, 18 different agencies on the planet that have launch capacity, can send up their own satellites. And this is a big problem I have with the flat Earth theory as well. You know, other than, you know, the scientific explanation, like, yes, you really can see the sail of a ship, you know, off in the distance, disappear by degrees below the horizon. The fact that I know professional airline pilots who assure me that there are, in fact, regular routes flown between Australia and South America that cross the Antarctic. The fact that nobody's seen the, you know, all of that other stuff. Setting all of that aside, there are other agencies that launch satellites into orbit. And in this internet age, I just have a real, real hard time believing that somebody somewhere wouldn't want to blow the lid off of a secret as big as, hey, you're living on a plate, a disc. That, you know, anyway, setting all that aside. Now, having said that, I think much of what Gill's research shows and what Doug Elwell's research shows makes sense, explains certain catastrophic events in history better than the naturalistic explanations that were given. And why couldn't God use natural phenomenon, a natural phenomenon or natural phenomena, plural, to achieve his ends? He certainly could. So, again, keeping an open mind on it, want to do more research. The other thing, too, is that in the course of an hour, you can't dig into the complete scientific explanation for every aspect of the theory. So while you may have questions, as I do, the fact that those questions weren't addressed or answered satisfactorily in the course of this interview should not be a grounds for dismissal of a theory entirely. I'm going to do more research, and if you're so inclined, encourage you to do the same. A couple of news items I just want to pass along. The pushback from the LGBT community and its advocates to religious freedom bills across the country is reaching a fever pitch. I thought it was intense last year when Indiana Governor Mike Pence signed their Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was just a version of a bill that was passed at the federal level during the Clinton administration. This is not like this is groundbreaking, revolutionary, or in the minds of the LGBT activists, you know, retrograde, sending us back into the Stone Age type legislation. This is stuff that has been on the books at the federal level for years. More than half the states in the union, whether by legislative act or by judicial act, have some form of legal protection on the books in those states for people who want to object to providing a good or a service on the grounds that it would violate their religious beliefs. Now, in North Carolina, their, what's it called? Public Utilities and Security Act, or Public Facilities and Security Act, a bill that was intended to override an ordinance in the city of Charlotte that would have allowed transgender people to use the public restroom assigned to the opposite sex. And the way the media is describing this bill is anti-LGBT. They're consistently describing it as anti-LGBT. And they're consistently using disclaimers or qualifiers, modifiers like so-called religious freedom, or putting religious freedom in air quotes, or, you know, in scare quotes rather, to describe these bills, when they really should be putting terms like same-sex, you know, marriage, in air quotes. But, you know, this is the spirit of the age. The hypocrisy here is breathtaking. Performers like Bruce Springsteen and, who are the other ones? Ringo Starr. Of course, I have to scratch my head and say, you know, wasn't the Beatles song Get Back didn't include a rather negative reference to a either a transgender person or a transvestite? You know, answer that question is yes, it did. Anyway, what they are doing, Springsteen and Starr and other performers, Cirque du Soleil, the circus group, has canceled performances in Charlotte, Greensboro, and Raleigh. PayPal decided it's not going to put a global operations center there. Deutsche Bank has announced it's not going to expand an operations center in Raleigh, costing between them like 500 jobs in the state of North Carolina. The NBA considering pulling the All-Star game from Charlotte next year. They are exercising their right in our free society to refuse to provide a good or a service because they disagree with the worldview of their prospective customer, the people of North Carolina, who whose elected officials support this bathroom bill, who reject the idea that facilities open to the public should allow men dressed as women into the ladies' room or a women's locker room. Presumably, that's a majority of the population in North Carolina. It certainly is would be a majority here in Missouri. But, you know, hey, if Springsteen wants to cancel a concert because he disagrees with the bill, fine. Ringo Starr, fine. There's no problem. The problem is that they are doing so to signal that Christians or conservative Jews and Muslims, for that matter, or any social conservative, regardless of religious belief, that has a problem with letting men in the women's room should be silenced, excluded from the public square, and should be compelled to allow and participate in behavior that they find morally wrong. It is hypocrisy of the highest order. They can't have it both ways. They want it both ways. That's typical of progressives, but that, you know, they shouldn't. The hypocrisy of PayPal does business in 25 Islamic nations where being transgendered or gay is often illegal and in some cases punishable by death. Cirque du Soleil canceled 3 upcoming performances in North Carolina and yet is continuing with its performances in the United Arab Emirates later this year, Dubai. In the UAE, gender reassignment surgery is illegal, and it is illegal for gays to marry, adopt children, or serve in the military. And violation of any of those aforementioned laws in the United Arab Emirates is punishable by fines, imprisonment, or death. And yet, Cirque du Soleil is picking on North Carolina. Deutsche Bank prides itself on being a leader in Sharia-compliant Islamic finance. And yet they're picking on North Carolina. You see the hypocrisy here. If you're in North Carolina, please let your elected official, let your governor, Governor McCrory, know that you stand behind them. And this is not a religious issue. I'm the father of a young woman, all right? Frankly, if she were of school age, elementary school age right now, and she did go through the public school system in suburban St. Louis, a fairly conservative school district. They taught things that you would not expect. Placed a real, let me put it this way. The mascot for the school district she was in was the Patriots. And every year they had a veteran of military service come in and address the school in the middle school. So, yeah. They didn't have any issues with the annual meet me at the poll, you know, prayer gathering every year for students at the high school. So a little unusual, but a lot has changed in the last 10 years. And if she were in school today, we'd be homeschooling. I'm sorry. We're, you know, a boy can grow his hair long, declare that he feels like a woman, and insist and use the power of the federal government to compel the school district to allow him to use the girls' locker room. It's happening at Maine South High School in the Chicago suburbs. I'm sure elsewhere around the country too. It is a safety issue. It is not even a religion issue when you're talking transgendered people who have not undergone reassignment surgery or the legal steps to reclassify themselves. And again, setting aside the issue that really doesn't change anything. It's just not gender reassignment surgery. Essentially, it's just genital mutilation surgery. Setting all that aside, it is a safety issue. So if you're in North Carolina, let your elected officials, let your governor know that you support them. But this is the way the world is going. And we Christians are going to have to get used to this because we are going to be increasingly marginalized for speaking out on issues like this. But point out the hypocrisy. Point out the hypocrisy. PayPal, Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank, by the way, which was accused of fraud by German investors several years back. Maybe you remember this story. Deutsche Bank was selling securities to German investors that were based on bundles of American life insurance policies. Deutsche Bank was buying up blocks of life insurance policies taken out by U.S. citizens and then turning around and selling them as investments, you know, basing investment funds on those insurance policies. And when, you know, the Americans who had originally taken out the policies died, there'd be a payoff and it would increase the value of the fund and the German investors would make money. What's really funny about the story is that we Americans weren't dying quickly enough for the German investors to make money. And so Deutsche Bank was accused of fraud and investigated. Oh, yeah. And just last week, Deutsche Bank admitted that it did participate in a rather wide-ranging scheme to fix prices in the gold and silver markets. Had to pay a rather hefty fine. And apparently, they've turned on some of their other conspirators in this plan. So we'll see what other shoe is going to drop from that. But look, when Deutsche Bank says we're not going to expand our operations in North Carolina, if I lived in North Carolina, I'd say fine. And I will say this. Also, we're looking for another option as far as online money transfers to PayPal. If you're going to engage in economic blackmail against people who just have an objection to men sharing locker room facilities and public bathrooms with our wives and daughters, then I don't need to do business with you. And if the NBA is going to take a stand on it, that's fine. Never watch another NBA game again. NFL wants to pull out of future Super Bowl out of Atlanta. Well, see, there the governor caved on that issue. But again, as Christians, we're going to have to get used to this because we're going to be increasingly marginalized until the day he comes. And come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, I've ranted long enough. What really is a blessing to us each week is the 2 hours of the Gilbert House Fellowship that Sharon and I produce and upload. Gilberthouse.org is the website. We're finding this to be really fulfilling and meaningful, and we're drawing it to the point that we are not really missing what we used to produce weekly with PID Radio. And I know that there are those of you who've been very great, very kind in sending us notes, you know, telling us you miss it. Watch Sci Friday on Skywatch TV. That has essentially become what we were doing on PID Radio. But the Gilbert House Fellowship, we're finding really fulfilling. 2 hours of study, an hour each, Old Testament, New Testament. We're going through the Bible in chronological order, which is an interesting reading order because you begin getting into overlaps in the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' life. Overlaps in the Old Testament now that we're into the period of the monarchy, the kingdom of David. So we've got Psalms, we've got 2 Samuel, we've got 1 Chronicles, all overlapping, and it really gives an interesting perspective on the scriptures. You'll find that every week posted, usually by midday Sunday, at gilberthouse.org. Whether you download us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you find us, we appreciate a rating or a review. If you've got a couple of spare minutes, that really helps us out. And we discuss the issues raised here on A View from the Bunker at our Facebook page. So look us up, the View from the Bunker page. It is linked from vftb.net. A View from the Bunker is a production of Gilbert House and released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. The opening theme is by Kevin MacLeod. His website is incompetech.com. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.